it took some effort to get here? Or was everybody's day just kind of smooth? Not so much? You know, some days are worse than others, and some weeks have a lot of worse days, right? And I think end of last week I was trying to describe the way I felt, you know, about Friday. And it was kind of like, you know, you ever seen the cowboy in the old Western that the stagecoach gets out of control and he jumps out on the team of horses to get them under control and he falls down and he's barely hanging on and the hoofs are all around him, you know? And eventually he just kind of starts losing his grip and he starts working his way back, getting beat together with the hoofs, and then finally it spits him out the back end on the dirt road. Yeah, that's where I was at last week. Yeah, but I made it. But you know what? Nothing bad happened. That's just me whining. So everything's all right. There's a whole lot of rougher deals out there, and I'm very blessed. All right, so we're going to be, when I get to the scripture, we're going to be in the book of Luke tonight, Luke 7. So it's going to take me a minute to get there, but you can go ahead and be turning if you want. And I promise not to teach any longer than I've got liberty for here. And I don't expect it'll take very long, so maybe I can give you some time back tonight. So I'll tell you, I was thinking about this lesson and praying on what I should teach, and the Lord gave me a thought. And let's see how this plays out through the evening. I was thinking about, you know, the world's made up of two types of people. Well, okay, maybe a lot of different types of people, but I'm going to throw everybody into two categories. And you guys tell me if you agree that the world's made up of these two types of people. You've got introverts and extroverts. So what's the difference? You guys have heard this, right? An introvert kind of keeps to themselves and doesn't want to be around a lot of people. And an extrovert loves crowds and loves to be the center of attention. Right? Okay, so you guys have all heard this, right? So, introverts, when they're around a lot of people, they lose energy. It's like it makes you tired. Guess what I am? If anybody's ever known me for more than a few minutes knows what I am. I'm an introvert, big time. Extroverts feed off of energy. They can't be alone. They die when they're alone. They need people. They need conversation. They need collaboration. They love crowds. They love to go to the mall and just draw energy off of people. Any of those in here? We got a few. Got one here. Yeah, that's right. Where's Brother David? He's not here tonight, but he's probably with a group of people somewhere telling something. What do y'all think? He's probably the extrovertist. Right here too, okay? So, you introverts, we got any in here? Okay, yeah, I'm definitely one of those. I told somebody the other day I was an introvert, and they said, what, you? Oh, yeah. I've learned to fake it pretty good, but I'm definitely an introvert. So, you know, for folks like me, I have a lot of people, like I know a lot of you do, right? People need stuff all day. They need a decision made. They need time with you. They need something. They just need. And I've learned that I've got to have, and I don't always get it, which makes me kind of end up where I was last week, but I need like 5 minutes alone sometime during the day so I can just kind of build my energy back up. Otherwise, it just gets bad. I mean, it just drains and drains and drains, and I feel like somebody's, you know, siphoning out my soul or something. Does anybody ever feel that way? Yeah. Oh, okay. So, you know, I've learned something about myself, and you guys may not have this problem, but I've learned that there's a limit. I mean, there is a flat-out limit to my capability. I kind of come to the end of myself quite often. And I tell you, Friday, it was toward the end of the day, and I had somebody send me a note, and they needed to meet with me, and I was like, I've got to ignore this. I can't take another input. I can't take another conversation. So I just left, and then after I got up my energy 2 or 3 hours later, I sent them a note and said, hey, I'll talk to you Monday. And they said, okay, right. So I didn't want to totally ignore them, but I couldn't carry on a conversation. So I've got limitations. But you know who doesn't have limitations? Jesus. No limitations. You will never tire out that resource. You'll never reach toward Him and Him say, yeah, Monday, because I'm done. I can't talk to you right now. I've heard enough prayers this week. I'm done. You know, you guys remember the story about the woman with the issue of blood? I always found that story interesting because Jesus was in a crowd and the crowd was pressing on Him. This is the Wednesday night crowd. You know the story. And she found her way through the crowd and she touched what? The hem of His garment. And something happened when she touched Him. You guys remember? Virtue went out of Him. So there was a draw out of Jesus when she touched Him. And, you know, she had an issue. Anybody in here got any issues? I got a few issues. And I found that with my issues, if I'll press through and put some energy toward touching Jesus, then He'll heal me of my issues. He will. He'll make my issues better. And, you know, Jesus gave that energy for that woman and gave her the healing that she needed. You know, Brother Ken taught Sunday about the centurion soldier. He said, I've got a servant that's sick back home. And Jesus said, well, okay, let's go. Let's go see him. Let's go to your house. Well, no, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. If you'll just speak the word, you can heal him. And Jesus said, no greater faith has been found, right? And Jesus spoke that word. And, you know, that's two examples of folks that came to Jesus and showed some faith toward him. And he had the answer for them. He had the healing for them. You remember the blind man that asked for healing and Jesus spat on the ground and made mud? Brother Adam taught about that. I guess it was a good while ago, a few weeks ago. Guess what? I listened to you. And you said that he transferred his DNA through that spit. And he healed the blind man through that transfer of DNA. And you know, Jesus has got that offer for us too. He'll transfer His holiness into us through His salvation. So He's got that to offer us. So we all have, just like this blind man, we all have blindness in our lives. Y'all realize that? How blind we can be? You ever ask your spouse or your best friend or somebody you work with, try these words on for size one time. Hey, what feedback do you have for me? You ever ask that question? You'll find out that you were... No, don't ask it if you're not ready to hear the answer. Because you'll find out that you've got some blind spots. Because they'll tell you. Yeah. We have blindness of pride. We have blindness of arrogance. Sometimes we're inconsiderate. Sometimes we're rude. Sometimes we're selfish. Sometimes we're hurtful. Just plain out mean sometimes, right? Yeah, I'm that guy. We have blind spots that only God can reveal if we'll ask Him. But we don't want to hear about our blindness, do we? We want to hear about how good we are. But you know, nobody ever got better hearing how good they were. So Jesus will transfer His holiness into you if you'll reach for Him, just like He did the blind man. Now there was another guy that came to Jesus. Everybody's always coming to, people come to Jesus for something. Y'all notice that? Everybody's seeking Him for something. All through the Bible, there are people needing, wanting. And you know what? He was okay with that. That's what He came for. And He had a limitless supply to give, and He still does. So the rich man came to Jesus, and he had a question. You guys ever have any questions? So he had a question. He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And then he went on to say, he said, yeah, I've kept all the commandments since my birth. And that shows that he had some blindness, didn't it? And Jesus said, okay, yeah, you probably have. You're in good shape right there. But I tell you what, why don't you turn loose all your riches and go sell them? And then come follow me and, you know, go help the poor with those riches. And then it came pretty clear that he didn't really want an answer to his question. He didn't really want to know the truth. He didn't really want to know that he had a blind spot, that he was clutching to his riches as his hope. And okay, to his self-righteousness also. He didn't really want to know that. So sometimes, in order to get better, we got to be willing to hear some truths. We got to be willing to hear what the Word and what people have to say to us. Or we can just live in blindness, and we can end up empty, right, at the end of this thing. There was another guy that came to Jesus and asked a similar question. Zacchaeus. What did Zacchaeus do when he got his answer? Y'all remember that? He went and found the people that he had wronged. And he said, oh, I get it. I'm going to turn loose of this money. I've been cheating people out of money. I'm going to turn loose of this money, and I'm going to return multifold what I've taken off of people. So there are different approaches if we are willing to hear what Jesus has to offer us. So all through time, we've been drawing from Jesus, and His supply never runs out. Jesus stated that that's what He came for. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. He came to find people to help. He's looking for people to help. I'd never discourage anybody to go to Jesus for help. He is our only help when it comes right down to it. But let's talk about another scenario. You know, there are other scenarios in the Bible where people didn't necessarily come for help. And there are just a few examples of that. And I want to focus our attention on Luke chapter 7. Verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And when he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to a meal, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. She brought something. She brought something very valuable. She brought something really greater than what she could afford. I've heard it said that it was a year's salary for most people at that time, and it was a precious thing that would be, you know, saved for special occasions or to be protected. It was a sign of an investment, a sign of wealth. And she took that ointment, and she stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with her tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. So she brought something. What did she really bring? She brought worship. She brought adoration. She brought appreciation. She brought worship to Jesus. You know, and most of the times, our hands are empty. When we come to Jesus, we don't have enough intelligence. We don't have enough talent. We don't have the right words. We can't offer money because He's got all the money. If He wants our money, He can just take it. The only reason we bring money is for our benefit, to align ourselves properly with Christ and do what He said we should do. It's not because God needs money. But the thing we can offer and the thing we can bring is worship. We can bring worship. And this lady brought worship. And it turns out that down in verse, I guess it's 47. Wait, let me find it real quick. Down in 48, he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. So she brought worship, and she got something in return, even though she wasn't apparently seeking anything. She was just bringing a gift. And she got forgiveness. And during this passage, Jesus tells a story. And he says, we're on verse 41. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. and what owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. And he's talking to his host there at the dinner party, and he said, "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love the most?" And Simon, his host, said, "I suppose he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." So the one that was forgiven the most is the one that loved the most in this parable. And I think that's true about us as well. Those of us who are not living with our blind spots, are not living with our blindness, and we truly see ourselves the way we are, those are the ones that can understand what Jesus has done for us. And those are the ones, and when we're in that state of mind, we can worship Him because we know that we have nothing to offer. So, I know that I've been forgiven of much, and it's my duty to love much. It's my duty to worship. And it's my duty to appreciate. So the woman came not to take but to give, and she came not asking but adding, but true to Jesus' nature, He gave her forgiveness. So let's look over in Luke 40, verse 38. Let's continue this theme of bringing things. Luke 40, verse 38. "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him unto her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." It's kind of interesting. We're finding people at Jesus' feet, listening and adoring Him. "But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to Him and said, 'Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore to come, that she may help me.'" So, let's think about what Martha was saying there. First of all, she was making a big show of serving. And she was showing herself as real busy, right? And then she started judging the people around her, saying, "Well, why isn't somebody helping me? Jesus, shouldn't she be helping me?" Sounded like somebody had a blind spot that they needed to hear about. "And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things.'" Any of you guys careful and troubled about many things? I think we spend a lot of time being real busy and troubled about a lot of things that at the end of the day really don't amount to a whole lot, right? We put so much stress on ourselves worrying about the outcome of things, and the outcome is going to be the outcome. So, "but one thing is needful," in verse 42, "and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her." So, Jesus was applauding Mary for just taking the time to worship Him and the time to learn from Him and to sit at His feet. So I'd say a little quiet time, a little focus on Christ will go a long way for us. Jesus doesn't need our efforts, our talents, our energy. It all has limits. And His has no limits. Jesus just desires our praise and attention. He can and will do the rest. Let's turn over. We're going to stay in Luke tonight. Let's turn over to Luke 19, verse 30. "Saying, 'Go ye into the village over against you, in which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never a man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you why ye loose him, thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosening the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. What would you guys do if somebody showed up at your house and started cranking the car? And you said, Hey, what's up? And they said, Well, the Lord needs this car. I'm guessing that wouldn't end very well. But that's what happened here. And I guess the Spirit had prepared the way for these folks. And he went, and as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, then the stones would immediately cry out. So just as Jesus came here to help, and just as he has endless energy to give and to help and to serve us, he also will be praised. And if we don't do it, he said here that the stones would cry out, that nature would shout the praise to their Creator. So I say that since he's given us vocal cords and he's given us a voice, that we ought to shout praise to our Creator. And we ought to show him the love and the adoration that that Martha did at his feet, and that the sinner did that brought the box of ointment and poured on his feet. So I think the Lord desires our worship. And at the end of the day, that's really what he desires from us, is our worship and our obedience. And we have really nothing else to offer. So I would encourage you to continue to seek Christ, to get the answers to our issues, to try to get light on our blindness, to get strength in our weakness, because the answers are there, right? And I want to praise him tonight, and I want to thank him for giving me the privilege of being one of his children. You know, we've got a lot to be grateful for. We've got a lot to be grateful for. You know, there are a lot of people around us that are hurting. And you know, I tell you, it's hard to imagine the fact that there are no mistakes, but it is true. You know, we were on our way to Alabama this weekend. We had a van load of kids. We had six people in the car, and we were coming through a country road, and I told the officer I was doing about 55. Okay, all right. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And then he said, but the speed limit's 45. And I said, then I was doing about 45. And he said, it's too late. You done said it. But anyway, as I was going through there doing about 55 or 60, I don't know what I was doing, one of those just, you know, loud, noisy country roads with just tall grass on either side, there's an intersection. And the gentleman sitting at the stop sign just pulled right up in front of us. There was nowhere to go, nothing to do, but try to get some tires squealing and try to turn away from him. Anyway, we plowed into him. And I was actually thinking this week, everybody was okay, by the way. Thank y'all for asking. But it could have gone a lot different, right? So he started turning away, and we started turning away, and it is $7,000 worth of damage to the van, and nobody got a scratch. So we'll take that any day. And I don't want to go through a physics lesson or anything, but that was some good physics that happened right there. I mean, the Lord just kind of timed that just right, put the energy away from us. But I was thinking, you know, 3 seconds difference. We were herding cats, getting the girls ready, getting the stuff packed, getting ourselves down the driveway, getting the dogs fed, getting them taken care of. 3 seconds, either earlier or later, and that wouldn't have happened. That was appointed to us. for whatever reason, I don't know. I mean, I don't know the reason, but for whatever reason, that was appointed. And, you know, the guy gets out of the car and he says, "Are y'all okay?" I said, "Yeah, you okay?" And he said, "Well, I'm really sorry about the damage." I said, "We don't care about damage as long as everybody's all right." And we had a long discussion there, and it was a good interchange. And then the state trooper came, and I don't know what happened out of all that interaction that might have helped somebody, or what's going to happen out of it. Or maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's just for me to stand up here and talk about, you know, 3 seconds make a difference. I don't know, but God has a plan for all of us. And we've got to trust that plan. And we've got to trust that He's in control of all those things. And I don't fully understand everything, and I wouldn't stand here and say that I do, and I won't want to say anything glib in anybody's situation, any of our situations, because I know a lot of us are fighting with things that we just don't quite get. But there is peace in those situations. I do know that. I do know when there are no other answers, and I do know when you're at the end of yourself and when you got nowhere else to turn and you can't see where the next move is going to be and you can't see how you're ever going to answer to the people who are asking questions of you. That there's a peace that can settle in on an unanswerable situation that goes beyond what answers could ever do. There's a peace in those situations that God can settle on us that is just unbelievable. And if you've experienced it, you know that. We've got a big God, and it is worth serving Him. It is worth worshiping Him. It is worth counting on Him. Every bit of energy that we put into it is worth it. So I would encourage you to stick with it. And thank you guys for your attention. I promised you I wouldn't belabor it, and I'm not going to. So thank you.